We have been discussing the subject of individual witnessing, the task and responsibility that is ours, the training and preparation for witnessing, some of the techniques involved in witnessing, and then the message of the gospel, which is the power of God to transform a life. I'm sure that God, in answer to your prayer, has given you many wonderful opportunities to witness to your friends and associates about the Lord Jesus Christ. If so, you know the wonderful joy and thrill that it is to have the opportunity to share the gospel message with others. It may be that you have been privileged to bring a person to Christ and have seen that person saved, and now today they are a new creature in Christ. If that is the case, you must remember that when a person comes to know the Lord Jesus as Savior, they are born into the family of God as a baby, a spiritual baby, just a beginner. Therefore, your responsibility to them has not ended. It has just begun. In fact, your responsibility is even greater. Now, it's something like when a baby is born. The parents wait, and the day comes that the little one is born. And then mother and father have some work to do, and there are years involved. Of course, the joys and the blessings of parenthood are well worth it all, but there is work to be done. And so it is when God has given you the opportunity to point someone to Christ, and that person has now been born again. You have a responsibility to care for this new Christian as an under-shepherd. And so today, in lesson number 12, we are discussing the caring for the new Christian. Now, there are certain things that are very basic that this new Christian needs help on immediately. And remember, they do need help immediately. If, for instance, someone should come to know the Lord on Tuesday night, we should not wait until Sunday to begin to follow up on them, to care for them. We should begin right away that very night, Tuesday, and then seek to get with them again on Wednesday and repeatedly through the week. Well, what would you cover? I would say that after a person has come to receive Christ into their hearts and lives, that the first point to cover would be assurance of salvation. Just how do you know that you are a child of God? How do you know that now you belong to the Lord Jesus Christ? And you can be certain of one thing, that one of the most used tools on Satan's workbench is the tool of doubt. He will bring doubt into the life of this new Christian. Sooner or later it will come. In past years, as I have taught various groups in personal work counseling, I have often asked the people to tell me how many of them at least once, since they came to know the Lord as Savior, had a doubt arise in their minds as to whether or not they really were born again. And in every instance, the majority of hands go up. Now, doubt, as I have said, is a common attack of the enemy. And so we will need to forewarn and to prepare the young Christian to meet this particular attack. Now, there, it seems to me, two main reasons why people allow a doubt to come into their hearts concerning their relationship to Jesus Christ. Their lack of assurance, that is, provided, of course, that they have really and truly been born again. And these two reasons, it seemed to me, are these. First, that they trust in feelings, and feelings are a very unsafe guide. Feelings really have nothing to do with it, because feelings can come and feelings can go just with our physical reactions. So we must not trust in feelings. Many times I have talked with a young Christian and asked them, how do you know that the Lord Jesus lives in your hearts? And very often they will say, well, I certainly feel better. My answer might be something like this. Well, I'm delighted that you feel better, but you see, your feelings may leave. But there's something that's more basic still. And we'll get into that in just a moment. I think another reason why so many people lack assurance of salvation is that they fail to realize that they can know for certain and that they may have absolute assurance. Now, if you have followed this course since we began, you will have committed to memory 1 John 5, 11 and 12. And let me read those to you now as they relate to assurance of salvation. And this is the record, that God hath given to us eternal life. And this life is in his Son. He that hath the Son hath life. Now, do you have the Lord Jesus Christ living in your heart? Did you receive him into your heart and life by faith? If so, you have the Son. And if you have the Son, what do you have? You have life, eternal life. The following verse, the 13th verse of 1 John chapter 5 says, These things have I written unto you that believe on the name of the Son of God, that ye may know that ye have eternal life. You needn't guess. You needn't hope. You may know for certain. As further illustration, let's go back to the verse that we left off with in our last message, namely Revelation 3:20. Here we have the illustration of the Lord Jesus standing at the door of the heart and knocking. And as the verse says, If any man hear my voice and open the door, I will come into him and will sup with him and he with me. Oftentimes I have asked a person with whom I have been talking about Christ if they realize that the Lord Jesus is standing at the door of their hearts. They say, Yes. Well, how do you know? Well, because he says so. Behold, I stand at the door and knock. Now, if he's knocking at the door of your heart, what does he want? Well, of course, he wants to come in. Now, he won't force his way in. He won't strong-arm his way in. But he's waiting to be invited. And that's just what it says here in this same verse. If any man hear my voice and open the door, what do? Well, we open the door. And if we open the door and invite him in, that is, ask him to come into our heart and lives, what will he do? Now listen to it very carefully. He says, I will come in to him. Just six words. I will come in to him. Now, if you have never received the Lord Jesus into your heart, and right now you would ask him to come into your heart and life, do you think he will come in? And the person may say, well, I think so. Or I don't know. And perhaps I would go over the verse again and say, well, let's look at it once more. Behold, I stand at the door and knock. If any man hear my voice and open the door, I will come into him, and I'll sup with him. That is, I'll live with him, and he with me. Now, if you ask the Lord Jesus to come into your heart right now, do you think you'll come in? Well, yes, I think he will. Well, how do you know he will? Because he said he would. That's it. You stake your life, in fact, your soul for eternity, on the promise of the Lord Jesus. How do I know he came into my heart 15 years ago? Because he promised he would. Oh, there are other evidences since, such as I can see he has made me a new creature in Christ. But basically, my faith and assurance in Christ rest upon the promises of his word. And so in caring for a new Christian, it is very important that they be grounded in immediately in assurance of salvation on the word of God, the Bible, the scriptures. Well, then what do we do next? Well, we must begin follow-up immediately. By follow-up, we mean giving spiritual care individually and personally to a new Christian. You see, a baby needs immediate care. That's how we get into God's family. We are born into it. And we're born into it as a baby, not as a spiritual adult. And now there's no spiritual pill that we can give a new Christian that will automatically, overnight, make them grow to maturity. But instead, God intends that they should grow in grace and in the knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, a baby needs to be fed. A baby needs to be protected and trained. And in order that a baby may be properly fed and protected and trained, they need a parent. And a new Christian, a spiritual baby, needs a parent as well. The Apostle Paul considered himself a spiritual parent to the people whom he had led to Christ. Hear him as he writes to the Corinthians in 1 Corinthians 4:15. For though ye have 10,000 instructors in Christ, yet have you not many fathers. For in Christ Jesus I have begotten you through the gospel. So he considered himself spiritually responsible as a parent to those whom he had led to the Lord. And you see, God commits the baby to the parent. Now it's true that we commit this spiritual baby to God, but he also commits them to us. For instance, my wife and I have 6 children, and by one we have committed them to the Lord. But the Lord also has committed them to us. And if our children are not properly fed and protected and trained, we certainly cannot blame God for it, nor can we blame our children, but we must take the responsibility ourselves. And so it is with a new Christian. They must be fed and taught how to feed themselves from the Bible. They must be protected from the false doctrines and the attacks of the enemy that will come along. And then they need to be trained that they in turn might reach others for Christ and be a spiritual parent to them. And all of this involves time and care and prayer and work. People will say, well, what happens to young Christians? Well, it depends upon the care that we give them. And you, as an individual personal worker, a witness for Christ, when God gives you the privilege of leading another to the Lord, that is not the end of your responsibility. It is only the beginning, because that newborn Christian needs immediate care. And as a baby, another reason they need immediate care is because Satan attacks immediately with doubt, with temptations, and with discouragements. That is one reason that we have prepared this little booklet, Beginning with Christ, formerly called the B-Rations. This little booklet you will have secured with your book of outlines on these messages. And the little booklet, Beginning with Christ, takes up the 3 major attacks of Satan on a young Christian and how they can be met. And that's why we've asked you to read it so carefully and commit these verses to memory for your own life, and secondly, that you could have something to help the person that you have led to the Lord. Now we're going to, in our concluding lesson next week, go into a couple more pointers and suggestions on caring for the new Christian. In the meantime, I trust that you will carefully review the notes you have taken these last 12 weeks in this course on individual witnessing, and then review your verses very carefully, daily. The 4 verses found in the back of Beginning with Christ, and the 8 verses found in the back of the little booklet, Going On with Christ. And then let me encourage you again to take advantage of an opportunity to enroll in the Navigator's Topical Memory System, which is described on page 14 of the little booklet, Beginning with Christ. I'm certain that you will find it one of the best investments that you have ever made, because this memory course teaches you not only what verses to memorize, but gives you guidebooks and helps that you may know how to successfully commit scripture verses to memory. And by this time, I'm certain you've experienced the blessing to your own life, as well as an indispensable help that will be to you in individual witnessing.